Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Well, he's real, real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. But so many people doubt him. But I can't live without him. And that is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. And every morning he's real. Yes, he's real. My Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. But I can't live without him, even though so many, they doubt him. And that is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. You know I would not be a liar. I tell you the reason why. The Lord might come and might call my name, and I wouldn't be ready to die. And every evening he's real. Oh, he's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. But so many people doubt him. But I can't live without him. And that is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. You know I would not be a gambler. I tell you the reason why. I'm afraid that the Lord might call my name, and I wouldn't be ready to die. Every evening he's real. Oh, he's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Every evening he's real. Oh, he's real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. And that is why I love him so, because he's so real. He's real to me.
Want to give God a praise one more time, go right ahead. Glory to God. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just give you praise and thanks. We come, Lord, because indeed you are a real God. Thank you. And as we just focus on your word, we ask that the Spirit of the living God will fall fresh on each and every one of us. And let us leave this place spirit-filled with power to do more for you than we've ever done in our lifetime. In the name of Jesus, amen. I read about a movie one time depicting a trial scene in a packed courtroom. The movie starts out in black and white, resembling scenes from the 1950s, as the prosecutor and defense attorney battle it out. The accused man looks on in fright. The judge ultimately postpones judgment to another date with a resounding thud of his gavel on the desk. Then the movie shows a progression of time, now in color in the 1970s, while the same courtroom battle continues. Dates keep getting postponed while the judge issues one impact-filled order after another with his gavel. Ultimately, the scene of the same trial that began in the 1950s progresses to the modern day, in which the lawyers, the judge, and the accused have grown old. So much so that the prosecutor even forgets the accused man's name. As the story of the trial continues, the camera zeroes in on the oak desk at which the judge sits. The idea was to bring out the timelessness of the judge's desk and how it, in fact, is the real witness to the action all through the years. The title of the message today is, Will the Real Witness Stand Up? Will the real witness stand up? You know, there was a little boy who had attended church for the very first time. And when he saw the ushers going around collecting offering, he gave his dad a little nudge and he says, Dad, don't pay for me. I'm under five. We need a real witness today. What do you say? Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. One of my favorite texts in all the Bible. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power at the coming of the Holy Spirit upon you. And you shall be, what everybody? Witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth. I believe last week that was the scripture reading. And it went something like this. That you shall be witnesses to me both in Bakersfield and in all California and the United States, even unto the end of the world. Witnesses. The word witness here does not mean somebody who just merely shares their belief. Nor does it mean one who gives their testimony. Nor is it talking about someone who just sees something or a spectator of an event. The word witness in this text means more than that. As a matter of fact, to help you understand the weight of the word witness, we get the word martyr from this word witness. It's the Greek word martos. And that's where we get the word martyr from. So Jesus was talking about more than somebody who passes out tracts. He was talking about more than somebody who gives a Bible study, or more than somebody who just shares their belief. He said to his disciples, and he's saying the same thing to us today, you shall be witnesses, martyrs, if you please, for me. More than somebody who just looks on, who says, yes, I've been with Jesus. Yes, I've seen Jesus. Yes, I know Jesus. Like you see these bumper stickers, and I saw one the other day. It says, honk if you know Jesus. He's talking about a martyr witness. There are other places where this text, or this word martos, is used in the Bible, and it's translated witnesses, or it's translated martyr sometimes in the Bible. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. If we are to take seriously this verse in Acts chapter 1, that we shall be witnesses and shall be exactly what Jesus Christ wants us to be, then we need to take a second look at that word witness. Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, therefore, since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of what, everybody? Witnesses. And he's talking about the previous chapter where it lists all those men and women of faith. And it says that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God. Witnesses. And many of these individuals were martyrs. Again, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. Another place where the word martos, which is also translated many times witness, is used in the Bible. It says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of what, everybody? The martyrs of Jesus. These are the real witnesses. Real witnesses. Acts chapter 22, verse 20. Acts chapter 22, verse 20. Again, another place where the word martyrs is used, translated martyr. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, Paul is saying here, I was also standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the clothes of them that slew him. Martyrs, witnesses. Here's another one for you, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 16. It says here, but if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three, what everybody? Witnesses, every word may be established. Now it gives us here who to get. There are different words in the Bible translated witnesses. This one is from the Greek word martos. In other words, he's not telling you just to get anybody who can be there just to listen to what's going on. He says get somebody who will go to death if it were to tell the truth. Get somebody with integrity. Get somebody who is truthful, who is honest, who not just honest to what they're hearing and what they're seeing, but in honest in every part of their lives. That's the real witness. So when Jesus uttered those words in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "You shall be witnesses to me," he was talking about more than just them spreading the gospel. Because truly, the disciples indeed became martos. They became witnesses even unto death. When you look at the different disciples, you can see how each one of them were attacked. Each one of them suffered a cruel death. Everyone except John, that is. Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slaughtered with a sword. Mark died at Alexandria after having been cruelly dragged through the streets. Luke was hanged upon an olive tree in Greece. John was put into a huge tank of boiling oil, but he escaped death in a miraculous manner and afterward was banished to Patmos. Peter was crucified at Rome upside down. James was beheaded at Jerusalem. The other James was thrown from the top of the temple and beaten to death with a blacksmith's hammer. Philip was hanged up against a pillar. Bartholomew was skinned alive. Andrew was bound to a cross where he preached to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was run through the body with a spear in East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death by the Jews. And Paul, after various types of tortures and persecution, was beheaded at Rome by the order of the Emperor Nero. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Bakersfield, in California, in the United States, even unto the uttermost parts of the world." Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." Verse 33, "Through faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, received promises, and shut the mouths of the lions, put out raging fires, escaped death by the sword, found strength in weakness, became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies." Verse 35, "Women received back their dead through resurrection. Others were brutally tortured, but refused to accept release so that they may gain a better resurrection." Are we listening, church? Verse 36, "Still others endured taunts and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death, sawed in half, killed with the swords. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins. They were needy, oppressed, mistreated. The world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. All these people won approval for their faith, but did not receive what was promised. And since God had planned something better for us so that they would not become perfect without us." Witnesses. Are you a witness? for Jesus. Witness here is talking about one who is so serious about his commitment to Jesus that he is willing to climb every hurdle to keep that commitment. Many people, when asked, if asked the question, would you die for your faith? Without even thinking, people would say, yes. But today, Jesus is asking you not just to die for your faith, but to live for your faith. Not just when other people are watching. Come on and say amen. Witnesses here is talking about somebody who's willing to go all the way. Somebody, no matter what day you find them on, their decision for Christ is going to be solid. It's talking about people who are willing to sacrifice the pleasures and entertainments of the present world to stay committed to Jesus. It's talking about people who are willing to sacrifice even relationships to stay committed to Jesus. It's talking about individuals who will give up love in order to stay committed to Jesus. It's talking about individuals who will give up promotions in order to stay committed to Jesus. Individuals who will give up even jobs to stay committed to Jesus. Individuals who would use their talents and gifts, even if it means working with someone who was difficult to work with. Individuals who are willing to attend meetings just to get the job done. They are willing to learn something they don't know so that they can be a more effective witness for God. And I ask you the question this today. Who did you witness for this week? Did you witness for ESPN? BET? TNT? Who did you witness for this week? This whole subject of witness, meaning someone who will even go to death for Jesus, reminds me of a senator by the name of Edmund G. Ross from Kansas. Nobody really knows him. You can call him a Mr. Nobody. There's no law that bears his name. Not a single list of Senate greats mentions his service. Yet, when Edmund Ross entered the Senate in 1866, he was considered a man to watch. He seemed destined to surpass his colleagues, but he tossed it all away by one courageous act of conscience. Let's set the stage. Conflict was dividing our government in the wake of the Civil War. President Andrew Johnson was determined to follow Lincoln's policy of reconciliation toward the defeated South. Congress, however, wanted to rule the downtrodden Confederate states with an iron hand. And so Congress decided to strike first. Shortly after Senator Ross was seated, the Senate introduced impeachment proceedings against the hated president. The radicals calculated that they needed 36 votes and smiled as they concluded that the 36th vote was none other than Senator Ross. The new senator listened to the vigilante talk. But to the surprise of many, he declared that the president deserved a fair trial just like any other accused man on earth. The word immediately went out that his vote was shaky. Russ received an avalanche of anti-Johnson telegrams from every section of the country. Radical senators badgered him to come to his senses. The fateful day of the vote finally arrived. The courtroom galleries were packed. Tickets for admission were at an enormous premium. As a death-like stillness fell over the Senate chamber, the vote began. By this time, they reached Senator Ross. 24 guilties had already been announced. 11 more were certain. Only Senator Ross' vote was needed to impeach the president. Unable to conceal his emotion, the Chief Justice asked in a trembling voice, "Mr. Senator, how vote you?" "Is the respondent Andrew Johnson guilty as charged?" Senator Ross later explained, "At that moment, I looked into my open grave. Friendships, position, fortune, and everything that makes life desirable to an ambitious man were about to be swept away by the breath of my mouth, perhaps forever." Then the answer came unhesitating, unmistakable: "Not guilty." With that, the trial was over, and the response was as predicted. A high public official from Kansas wired Ross to say, "Kansas repudiates you as she does all perjurers and skunks." That open grave vision had become a reality. Ross, his political career was in ruins. Extreme ostracism and even physical attacks awaited his family upon their return home. On one gloomy day, Senator Ross turned to his faithful wife and said, "Millions cursing me today will bless me tomorrow. But God can know the struggle it has cost me." And his declaration was indeed prophetic. 20 years later, Congress and the Supreme Court verified the wisdom of his position and by changing the laws relating to impeachment. Senator Ross was appointed as territorial governor of New Mexico. Then, just prior to his death, he was awarded a special pension by Congress. The press and the country took this opportunity to honor his courage, which they finally concluded had saved our country from crisis and division. I often wonder, when Jesus will ask us why we didn't do what he told us to do, what excuses we will give, especially in the face of men and women who suffered bodily harm to be a witness for Jesus. We are called to be witnesses, not lawyers. Oftentimes when I am tempted to complain, I think about this poem. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Today upon a bus, I saw a girl with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy. I wished I was so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobbled down the aisle. She had one leg and wore a crutch. And as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two legs. The world is mine. I stopped to buy some candy. The boy who sold it had such a charm. I talked with him. He seemed so glad. If I were late, it'd be no harm. And as I left, he said to me, I thank you. You've been so kind. It's nice to talk with folks like you. You see, he said, I'm blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes. The world is mine. Later, while walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. He did not know what to do. I stopped a moment and then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he couldn't hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I'd know. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I've been blessed indeed. The world is mine. The world today is not looking for excuses. It's looking for real witnesses. How do you become a witness? That kind of witness. That kind of witness where nothing the devil tangles in front of you will deter you from being committed to Jesus Christ. What is it? How do you become that kind of witness? All we got to do is go back to the verse in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it's plain to see as the nose on our faces. You look there, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, you shall be witnesses at the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just something we experience when we come down to the altar or when we fall down on our knees. It is something that happens on a continual basis. He says, you shall be witnesses. He was talking to a group of them, but even if he was talking to one of them, he will still use the word witnesses because he wants them to be a witness over and over and over again. How do you become that witness? Do you just want to be a spectator? Do you just want to be somebody who comes and warm another church's pew? Do you just want to be a name on a church roll? Or do you want to be a real witness for Jesus Christ? He says, after the Holy Spirit coming upon you. After the Holy Spirit coming upon you. The King James Version says, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, as if it's a one-time thing. But the literal translation reads, after the Holy Spirit coming upon you. That's how you are a witness. Because if left alone, if just left for 1 minute, I would rather look the other way. I would rather do my own thing. And so God realizes that the Holy Spirit has to keep coming upon me, keep filling me, so that I can be a faithful witness in every situation that I am in. If you find yourself not being a witness, if you find yourself somehow keep falling for the same thing over and over again. Maybe it's because you're not inviting the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Today we need to have the resolve like the song, I'm on my way to Canaan land. If you don't go, I'll journey on. If you don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise the good Lord. I'm on my way. Or like the song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Pastor Rick Warren, in the Purpose Driven Church, he writes about this kind of witness, this kind of martyr, this kind of person who, after receiving the over and over again the Holy Spirit, he says, today I am stepping across the line. I'm tired of waffling. I'm finished with wavering. I've made my choice. The verdict is in, and my decision is irrevocable. I'm going God's way. There is no turning back. I will live the rest of my life serving God's purpose with God's people on God's planet for God's glory. I will use my life to celebrate his presence, cultivate his character, participate in his family, demonstrate his love, and communicate his word. Continuing talking about this faithful, real witness for Jesus, he writes, since my past has been forgiven, and I have a purpose for living, and a home awaiting in heaven, I refuse to waste any more time or energy on shallow living, petty thinking, trivial talking, thoughtless doing, useless regretting, hurtful resenting, or faithless worrying. Instead, I will magnify God, grow to maturity, serve in ministry, and fulfill my mission in the membership of his family. Do you want to be that faithful witness? Do you want to be that real witness? He reads on. He says, because this life is preparation for the next, I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and people over possessions, position, and pleasures. I know that what matters most, and I'll give it all I've got. I'll do the best I can with what I have for Jesus today. What kind of witness are you? Are you just a spectator? Are you just a witness in name only? I love what he says next. He says, I won't be captivated by culture, manipulated by critics, motivated by praise, frustrated by problems, debilitated by temptation, or intimidated by the devil. I'll keep running my race with my eyes on the goal, not the sidelines or those running by me. When times get tough, and don't they get tough, and I get tired, I won't back up, back off, back down, back out, or backslide. I'll just keep moving forward by God's grace. I'm spirit-led, purpose-driven, and mission-focused, so I cannot be bought, I will not be compromised, and I shall not quit until I finish the race. I am God's trophy, amazing grace, so that I am a trophy of God's amazing grace, so I will be gracious to everyone, grateful for every day, and generous with everything that God entrusts to me. Will the real witness stand up? God is calling us in these last days to be witnesses. you shall receive power. There are a lot of powerful things in this world today. If somebody can spend 4 to 6 hours a day in front of a screen, then that screen has power. Are you with me? What kind of power is driving your life? You're either going to get the dunamis power of God, or you're going to get the power of the world. My prayer for each of us today is that we would let the Holy Spirit keep filling us, keep holding us, keep using us, so that we can be powerful witness for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, everybody's looking for power. Everybody has power. And I pray that today we will not allow anything or anyone to have power over us except Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Father, your power can come against any power. Each one of us have been born with a power deficit. We were born with not sufficient power to fulfill the promises in your word. But you said in your word, Father God, that we shall be born again. Born not of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We cannot do it in our own strength, O God, only through your power, which is the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And today, Father God, on the second month of a new decade, may we be bold and courageous to stand up for you. And I today, Father, want to register my commitment. As frail as I am, as fickle as I am, as floundering as I am, as feeble as I am, but I raise my hand to one who is greater than I, one who left the courts of heaven to die for my sins, one who is greater in me than all the power that is in the world. I raise my hand to you, Father God, and I say, Lord, I want to have that commitment of a real witness for you. If you want to join me in becoming that witness, I want you to stand wherever you are right now. If you want to say, I want to be a real witness, no turning back, no turning back. I'm not going to rely on my own strength. I'm not going to rely on my own promises. I'm going to rely on the promises of Jesus, and I'm going to stand on that promise that he will fill me with the Holy Ghost so I can be that martos witness for him everywhere I go. Father, as we stand, Lord, in your strength. You don't show us what is ahead. All you show us what is present, and that is the I am. The Jesus in me. So bless each and every person that commitment will be real, just as real as the witness you want us to be. I pray for those, Father God, who may be hearing this for the very first time. Somehow they may not understand what it's all about. But somewhere, somehow, Lord, you have stirred their hearts. You have somehow invited them and to let them know they did not come here on their own. They did not come here merely by an invitation of another. They did not come here just to see a friend or just to visit with somebody. They came here because you drew them here. You worked it out so that they will be here. So somehow the Holy Spirit can appeal to their lives to let them know that it's time. It's time to stop the trivial things. It's time to stop the time-wasting things. It's time to be a real man and a real woman for Jesus Christ by being a witness today. Thank you, Father. We come and we bless your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Remain standing as we sing together our closing song. In a little while, we are going home. And if today, somehow you need some special prayer, you need maybe somebody to visit with you and pray with you, you just need somebody to contact you, you need follow-up to what you've heard today, take your bulletin and just fill it out and give it to somebody, and we'll make sure that we will be committed to helping you just like somebody helped us. Can you say amen? Let's do it right. If you got a mic, please come forward.
All right.
Thank you. This song is a song about that it won't be long. We are going home. And as we journey home, saints, let's be that faithful witness for Jesus. Thank you.
Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. When a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows fall. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows home. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home, and no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
As we leave this place, we leave with the promise of God. The promise that he has already sent the Comforter, and he will continually sending upon us so that we can be real witnesses standing up for him. So may the Lord bless you as a real witness in the church. May the Lord bless you as a real witness in your home. May the Lord bless you as a real witness in your school. May the Lord bless you as a real witness wherever you go, be it work, be it play, be it shopping. You are a witness, a real, authenticated, unadulterated witness for Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God As always, stay blessed by the best.